crossfade. The Daily Talk Show. A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, everyone. Episode 203 live here from Collingwood.
Yeah, correct. What day are we back together working? Because this is more of an official capacity now that we're working in the same office.
Are you asking what day did we actually start?
Yeah, I can't remember. Was it just last week? You were in a bit of a haze last week feeling jet lagged. So this is really the first week that we're back at it.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up on a few things.
What?
You love to procrastinate and bring people in on it.
No, you are just a snowflake that will just do whatever.
True,
that is,
there's always different perspectives to situations, but I definitely feel it. No, I think it's one of your traits of being able to suck in the energy, suck in people to your energy. Maybe it's you at a different frequency. It's we've been talking a lot about co-working spaces, and we went and visited my brother, Michael, who works at a co-working space, and. Is this your first experience of understanding going to one of – what was it? The Commons, which is
the Commons
a large co-working space. Is that your first time going there? To meet someone, seeing the day-to-day?
No, I've met people there before. Lucy works in
– the same way.
Yeah,
it just so happens there's about five people we know in this co-working space. It's a weird – you said this would be a great
– mockumentary.
Mockumentary.
So – I think that when it comes to open plan offices, my personality is the reason why there shouldn't be open plan offices. Or it's at least the thing of if you are going to, it depends, what is an open plan office for, do you think?
I thought that they did it to make
Not a co-working space, just an open plan office.
Open plan office is to make it so that everyone's on the same playing field, I thought. Was to sort of open up the communication.
Yeah. Being able to turn to the person next to you.
Yeah. Well, so you're not – you can get up and say something rather than send an email potentially, which doesn't happen in big companies. Everyone is on the email train.
On the Slack.
Yeah, going hard. But, I mean, you've worked in more big media companies outside of ours than I have.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the learnings from were you the same as what you are here?
Yeah, so finish your observation.
Okay,
you can be offensive.
I don't think there's anything wrong with what you do unless we have deadlines.
Yeah.
Because the deadlines can be pushed back. Like I always think even this podcast, I've pushed this back today because for me it can throw me off from an energy perspective where I – put so much into this and then I'm sort of excitable about something and we go down a train of thought about the show and what we're doing. So,
let's talk through the day and we'll see what the rabbit holes were. How about that? Okay. So I got in 6:15.
Yeah.
I called you at 6:25 because I couldn't work out how to open the front door.
Yeah. It's a latch down the bottom.
Yeah. Well, the latch was hard to open, but I got there because I know about the key and all that sort of thing. But
I should have said you can kick it.
Okay,
you can use your foot because it's like
I don't want to have to kick in it.
Nah.
You even showed me a little hack of how to maybe open one of the locks the other day, and it involved
potentially looking like you're breaking in.
It was like lock it. It's like, mate, you don't for this specific bit, this storage bit, you actually can just. You were teaching me how to pick a lock and then I was like, oh, I don't have that key and I was there picking the lock. I was like, what the fuck? This is my office. What are we doing?
There's a different line of thinking. Mine's this is fun doing this. Yeah. I feel like I'm breaking in without being charged for it. But, so you got in early.
So I got in early and gave you a call straight away.
Yeah.
Sorted that out. But then I had a podcast interview.
Yeah.
From 8:00 that I was doing for someone else's podcast.
Yeah.
I'm pretty full on. It's not that I'm not respectful, but when I'm doing my thing and I'm in my zone, there is no regard in the sense of – I noticed that after I got off that call because the last 15 minutes was me talking to the guy after the podcast and he was – based in Toronto. It was the first time I'd spoken to him, and I was pacing around. I thought there is four other people in the office at the time, and I got off and I was like, oh, hey, everyone. But I was like, oh, actually, I didn't even realize Mason, who works with us, I didn't even say hello. Like, it didn't even register. It was like 15 minutes later after Mason probably had thought that I'd interacted in just by being here.
Yeah.
Until
This is why I pushed the podcast back, because you were lost until maybe it tripped you up. So today's one of the days I actually noticed where you are flying, and maybe it's the podcast in the morning sets you up to be cognitively flying.
Flying maybe in the sense of, so because we had a meeting soon up, so that finished at 9:15.
Yeah.
Then you were working on a little edit that we just put out of Los Angeles from our trip. And so then we went down and I said, do you want to grab a coffee? So we grabbed a coffee around 9:30.
Yeah.
And then during that coffee, I've got non-negotiables here, and I've written down we need to email a client for a job that we've got on. We've got to record the daily talk show. We need to do a client audit, which I had down for 1 o'clock, which was us going through all of our clients that we had separately and working out which ones we actually wanted to reach out to. And
yeah, 100%. So there's a bunch of stuff that we've actually done them, surprisingly, but surprisingly because it...
Well, we did a lot of things outside of the non-negotiables before we did the non-negotiables. Definitely.
But maybe this is the thing. So the whole reason, and it's not like this is not some rock solid principle we've been following. It's been one day that we've done this non-negotiable thing of what are the tasks, which makes sense. What are the tasks that you have that you've... We're not giving ourselves an option.
Yeah.
To not do.
You have to walk away at the end of the day and say, I have got to do these things.
Yeah.
And as long as I do them, I can walk away and say, I've had a good day.
Yeah.
Maybe did I set the bar too low? Because we've done the non-negs, but it feels like I've done a lot of other shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was what I was thinking in that moment of, like, I think you can be loose and have fun and sort of maybe that comes for other people, it's at their detriment.
Yeah.
But you can have a heap of fun and get a couple of things done.
We have my brother here right now.
That was an anomaly. Yeah. Anomaly.
Yeah. Just
in our day,
which is great. Invited him over. We went and had grilled. He had a basketball. If we had time, I was gonna test out some audio stuff with the guitar.
I had someone pop in as well, and I was thinking. So you don't want to be so strict in your day where you like seem antisocial or, you know, you're giving pushback at everything.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing working around others where you need to put your foot down at some point and go, guys, we got to wrap this up and get together and do some work.
I'm the natural leader in some regards, and so maybe that's part of the risk too is people will – like we – I don't know how we got onto it, but we started talking about the live streaming. It was because Mason was – you and I had talked a bunch about the opportunities of having Mason, who's been doing some free work and being like, you know what, like one of the goals we wrote down was around being able – the people that we have on to help us, to be able to pay them and to bring them on the books and all that sort of thing from the beginning. And so you and I had that conversation. So then that was the first time – we'd seen Mason since then.
Well, yeah, you've got to go with the flow sometimes.
But you're probably going to wait, were you? Like, I guess
I like to read a moment and go, may as well do this here.
Yeah. You read it and was like, oh, it actually makes sense. We're talking about this shit.
Yeah, I just, what I'm battling with is when do you, not you personally, but in any situation, when do people, when is it like, when do you really put your foot down? When do you get really rigid? And being rigid, does that mean that you sort of have no fluidity in creativity? What do you think?
No, well, I think that you can be the stick in the mud. I think that's the worst feeling. And what the unfortunate thing that can happen is that when you're in a group dynamic, being the one who's pushing forward the thing that's the work that's not necessarily the fun bit isn't ever the fun place to be. Like it's never the what would you call it? Like, it's not the goal. You don't want to be that personality.
Yeah, you don't want to be a fun sponge.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, we got to wrap it up and go home.
Yeah.
It's only 10:30. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's today was very – I think it was because I had the confidence in the non-negotiables and that we're still going to get them done.
Mm.
But also you and I have talked about, like, being in a space where it's just you and I versus having other people in. If I see almost faces and people as little obligations. Mm. And that normally takes priority over the obligations that are on my to-do list.
Mm.
So if Derek comes in, I want to feel like I have a chat with her. I don't want to ever be dismissive, because I know that it's like I can always, because I enjoy having a conversation.
Yeah. Bumping into people is one of those things.
It's like fucking Seinfeld a little bit here yeah. today, don't you think?
Yeah. Yep. As you say that, someone was walking out with a large painting, a delivery guy, yeah. and it had vibes of a Seinfeld episode, just walking down the stairs, dropping it. No, there definitely is. There is. I remember working in a gym and it felt like there should be some reality TV show, just some comedy about the personalities and quirks, just like a co-working space.
Yeah.
There is. I mean, this is why Ricky Gervais is so rich, because he actually just did that.
So do you think, what was it like when you were working at the bigger radio stations, when you weren't necessarily the talent but you were day-to-day grind, digital content producer?
Yeah.
Was there a lot of banter going on? Was there a lot of walking around and talking?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, the departments really are broken up, so you can sort of, you know, it's almost like you walk over a group of people that are all working away, but you've got friends there, and then you can feel like you can, you don't feel, yeah, it's like a new, you know, when you walk up and just say, what's going on over here? Yeah. It's like gives you, it's entertainment though, it's selfish. Because it does, well, like they're looking up and going, yeah, they're being polite, but then you can get them, so you can sense when they don't want a bar of it, and then you can hook them in, and then like they're on.
Well, Bree loves a chat, but she's also super efficient, super driven, super focused, and so she's gotten back from her trip, and she's already said, like, I have become the person that people will go to if they want to have a chat. What do I do? She said, what do I do? Because I don't want to like be rude.
Yeah.
And so my tactic is, I said, just wear headphones. If you have to physically, like, I'm not a
It didn't work for Chase Jarvis. I went straight up to him. Exactly. He was on our podcast.
Well, but if someone's at a desk and they've got headphones on, I even thought about it with Jimmy, our mate, a conspiracy theorist, Jimmy.
That's not his nickname.
Can we make that his nickname or no? that's a good example. Tuesday, I think I spent 45 minutes talking to him about the mainstream media.
And the American political landscape. Yeah, I opted out of that conversation.
Where did you even go for that time?
I think I just left.
But that was for 45 minutes.
I know, I was doing something and I was like, fuck, I'm out of this one.
Yeah.
Definitely not involved in that.
But no, Jimmy, yesterday I saw there was a moment. It was actually when you told me. It was when I wasn't necessarily vibing it, but you said, I just need to take a piss and we'll go. Just go talk to Jimmy. Do you remember you saying that?
Yeah.
Which is sort of a fucked up thing. Why couldn't I just stand? Literally, there's like toilets and then there's another office next door to us.
You don't want to be a pest, but then
you
get caught.
So I went into Jimmy. Yeah. And so Jimmy's got his headphones in. And I just sort of walk in as if he's invited. Like, I'm like, hey, man. He's like, oh, hey. But I didn't really have anything to say. It was almost like I felt like you'd teed up this thing and that he should have met me with some sort of interest as well.
Guys, I think I was just referring to you to go and say hi to him. What's up, bro? Just say hello. Not delve into political conversation.
But then before you know it, I think in that moment, this is the other thing that somehow ends up happening is I tend to get, I mean, it's only been a few days here in the office that we have together, and I've already had a couple of packages.
Yeah.
And somehow they've been quite big in size and they've started conversation from the standing desk to the new microphone, the audio mixer.
You know, the thing about receiving packages is the fucking packaging is the most annoying part.
It's a big box.
Cardboard, recyclable, but it's called bins. We have a lack of them. Yeah. Even our apartment block doesn't have enough bins for the amount of like recycling we have.
Where do we put stuff?
Here? Yeah, we've got very limited bins, and we've got a few square meters now of cardboard that we need to dispose of.
Something.
Yeah, it is. Because you don't want people to have more rubbish, because I think more bins encourage more rubbish.
Yeah.
I remember in New York when we were there, seeing there was a big sign. It was like boxes, like crush your boxes before you put them in, because they have like garbage rooms in a lot of the apartment blocks. But that is a place that you see the garbage.
Mm.
It's so notable because there is so many people and everyone's getting Amazon deliveries.
Yeah,
there's boxes
everywhere.
Yeah, there's boxes flying in everywhere.
There was even like at our old place in Abbotsford where Bree and I lived, the bin room was just disgusting.
Oh.
Just like because people were using, like they were thinking that the whole room was like the bin.
Yeah.
Like rather than that the bins go in the bin room.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, well, I've got hard rubbish. And when we were leaving, we asked where we put the hard rubbish and they said just put it in the bin room.
Yeah.
So no wonder, like that was their system. So you just end up with manky old, the most disgusting type of hard rubbish. Tell me if you know what it is. Guess. What's one thing on the side of the road whenever you see it, it's like that's a bit filthy?
Fridge?
Old mattress.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
What are they?
Because no one is ever going to take an old mattress, are they? Even homeless?
Dude, you'd be surprised if you put it out, how quickly it will get taken. Mm. Just crappy old things, especially baby stuff. Like but even if you put out like a dirty kind of chair or something, people will come past and grab it.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot more about taking stuff and selling stuff, like on the side.
Gary V. It's fucking flipping shit, really.
I got onto a good note. Amy and I, here's the thing. We don't live in an affluent suburb now. St Kilda's
or I mean
no, we lived in Bondi.
Okay.
Which is super expensive and really lovely places. There was stuff hard rubbish getting put out everywhere. And so we got in a system of taking stuff and putting it on the the eastern suburbs, which is a very like posh areas, into Vaucluse and $20 million.
Into what, sorry?
Vaucluse.
Sorry.
Which is a suburb in the eastern suburbs.
Vaucluse.
Okay. Unbelievable. Looking out over the harbour. Crazy. You could drop $15 million on a house.
I couldn't, but yeah, Vaucluse.
You definitely could.
What a name.
Vaucluse. It's amazing neighbourhood. Anyway.
V-A-U-C-L-U-S-E.
Yeah.
Vaucluse. Vaucluse. Yeah, eastern suburb.
You know what? It's so funny, you questioning how I'm saying it. I was questioning myself whether that is right, but I'd never thought about. I just read the signs of a clues.
If you actually see the border of it, like where it borders, if you're looking on Google Maps,
tiny,
looks a little bit like Tasmania.
Oh yeah, well it's all hilly, so that's all just like heaps of sort of really steep streets. Such a sick suburb. Okay. But that's the eastern suburbs. And so the eastern suburbs, people have a lot of money and the stuff gets thrown out is awesome.
Like
so
what'd you get? 2015 iMac.
Yeah. No, nothing like that. But awesome, like vintage like fucking, what do you call it? Furniture for your house, and it sells really well. So we got in a frenzy of looking for stuff like that would sell really well. Those bedside tables gone, and so it was this free listing thing on Facebook. We would be putting stuff.
How much
up.
Money do you reckon you made?
Oh, a couple of $100, which was just extra money, which was great, and it's all cash. Sorry, tax man, you've got no record of it, so.
Other than this podcast, but it'd be sort of annoying to.
You're still there.
We can't even index this thing, let alone the ATO. Maybe ATO could do transcriptions for us.
Yeah. Well, it was good. And so if you live in the eastern suburbs, it is more handy than the birds.
It's great. But I think with all of this stuff, it's like with Gary V. Yeah. I think that especially if you've got a job that can pay well, you should always just default to doing the job that you do and get paid well. Doubling down on that rather than all of a sudden. Like, because I get that. You can look at anything. I could be like, oh, man, you know, like if I work a night shift delivering furniture, it's actually really good money.
Yeah.
It's a hard sell to be like, okay, well, I'm just going to do that on the side.
So if you don't know who Gary V is, guy who owns a $300 million agency.
Gary Vaynerchuk. Yeah,
he's Gary Vaynerchuk. Vayner Media. He's been doing this thing. He's like big on encouraging people to go garbage. No, not garbage. What does he call it? Trash talk. That's his new series where he goes garage shopping to flip stuff.
He's not shopping for garage. It's garage sales.
Garage sale shopping to find stuff that he can then flip on eBay.
Yeah.
There's a few things that's wrong with it. I love his message of people who aren't doing shit and don't have a job.
Well, there's always money to be made.
Yeah. Well, to be actively chasing the money that could be made from, you know, the stuff that's getting sold. But there's also a fact that he's doing the bit that's the fun bit, which is the driving around. I'm sure you and I would have heaps of fun
but
driving to garage sales.
I have a fucking Apple Watch that I'm not wearing. I could literally do that with my, like, the shit that I already have. That's the problem.
Yeah, maybe you should encourage people to sell their own shit versus buying other and then selling.
But maybe people don't have shit. But I've got, so I'm horrendous when it comes to, I had a big thing of just buying Saturday's New York t-shirts and stuff like that. And then I went all fucking minimal. But I've still got all of that shit in a bag at the moment.
Should we do it? No, Garrett, you need a house to do a garage sale. In Bondi, they actually all the garage sales from apartment blocks are just like people that go to the front and just have it on the nature strip out the front.
Could you? Bree did that where she went to, what's the one in near Hawthorne? The big the market,
Camberwell Market.
Camberwell Market. She did the Camberwell Market.
The suburb near near Camberwell,
near Hawthorne. It's called Camberwell.
Yeah, but it's the suburb next to it.
Yeah.
I love that you're the, because it's got a real brand about it, the Camberwell Market.
Yeah.
But you remembered it via the suburb next to it.
Well, because I drove Bree there. I've got no, I don't know. You know, I don't know shit. But anyway, the.
Yeah, that's big. Sunday morning.
But also just pushing on price, people pushing on. I just couldn't. I don't think I'd sell anything.
Yeah. So here's the thing. James was telling me about how he's
Conspiracy Jimmy.
Yeah,
conspiracy.
Yeah.
Can we call him that? Conspiracy Jimmy's pretty funny.
He was telling me about how his wife sold this thing, and it was on eBay. And sorry, she sold a bunch of clothes, and his point was, how much did you make? And it was like, oh, a couple of $100. And it's like, for the time that goes in, and the money that you get back. Is where he saw the problem.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. So, like, if you break down your hourly rate,
and also,
this is the problem.
It's like you bought that last week for 500. If you sell it for 200, you didn't make 200, you lost 300.
So Gary V's message of going to garage sales and buying shit is, I like it, but he's a dude whose hourly rate is probably 10 grand.
Yeah.
And so he's doing it for shits and giggles. And, you can make fun, but maybe you can get too cynical about this stuff. Like, everything is important. If you enjoy it on the outside of your own job, it can be a. Not everyone has a job that they actually love, or, you know, I think.
Everyone's talking about side hustle.
Yeah, which I think it. So if I've thought about it, you know, maybe Amy and I could sell a few things on the weekend or whatever. It actually is something for her and I. And they enjoy it. Like, so for Jimmy's wife, she probably enjoys the hustle. Like, there is something enjoyable, even if you're not getting your full hourly rate, your full Gary V rate.
I do like, there was something interesting about, because with the businesses, you know, that we've been in with our business now, it's like we invoice, the money hits our account. There is something cool about cashies, where it's like when I sold that big sound mixer and those two guys came to my place and I had sold it for $550 and they came in with $500 and then they said, oh, sorry, like we've only got $500. Yeah. I said, oh, that's okay. You don't need it. I knew they'd driven an hour and they were trying to fucking rip me. So I said, oh, that's okay. You don't need to buy it. And then I started walking off and then he pulls out the other 50 out of
There's
his
a
fucking
game.
Pocket.
I think you would enjoy the game.
I was nearly about to say, you know what? Just for being a little bitch, you pay $600. I nearly did that.
That's a power play.
It's a good power play too. Or you know what? Not for sale. Just completely not for sale anymore.
Fucking changed my mind.
What he said, no, that's what shits me about this stuff is that they go hard on stuff. He had no questions. I'm like, you know what? I said, I'm happy to sell it today. Yes, I can do it today because you're so easy.
Yeah.
He arrives there and he says, now, has it got a carry case? I'm like, well, I didn't say it has a carry case. He starts asking all of these questions and then he wants to which makes sense, but he didn't say it at the time. He's like beforehand, he's like, can we test this mixer out? So I'm at like the foyer of my apartment block finding a fucking communal PowerPoint to plug in my sound mixer and to show that it turned on.
It is fair that he wants to know if it turns on.
Yeah, I guess.
I went to the front door of a really nice house and the nanny answered the door and she was selling for the owner the automatic rocker for the baby. Just whack it in, turn a button on, it just like rocks the baby back and forth. It's perfect. And she's like, oh, does it work? I said, does it work? She's not sure. And I went and turned it on and like fiddled around with it.
And it didn't.
Didn't fucking work.
Uh-huh. So they were being dodgy.
So some people, I think, do that shit.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be vigilant. So you have to test this stuff before you buy it.
Yeah, I know someone whose car was completely broken, but it wasn't something you had to drive long kilometers before it completely broke down.
Jeez.
So they did like a trade-in offer, got a great price for their car and got a new one.
Yeah.
I mean, are they fucking the car salespeople or are they fucking the next person who buys that secondhand car?
Well,
is that ethical?
It's totally not on. Well, I don't know. I think any person who actually does that shit, you've got a bit going on.
Yeah.
It's a bit wrong. It's fucking wrong.
Well, I mean, you were talking about what was it? We're thinking about getting an aircon and maybe you joked about the landlord. Like, because do we pay for power?
Yes.
At this place? Okay.
Oh, so good that we're having the meeting about the bills.
I'm trying to work
out
what the outgoings are. What do we pay a month for power?
Oh, it's pretty cheap, 80 or 90 bucks.
Oh, that's good.
A month?
Do we have to pay water or anything?
No. I've lived in plenty of apartment blocks where they didn't factor the splitting of water in at the build of the building.
Yeah.
So it was like 30 years ago. So there was only the landlord has to pay the bill. Mm. So a bunch of apartments, I've never paid water.
Really?
There was one. Oh,
I wonder if you'll get caught out eventually.
Well, the place in Shepparton where I lived, we had gas. Never paid a gas bill.
But this is the thing. I had the case in my old office where we got a bill for we had the office for 2 years. Mm. I'd transitioned to our business and this office, but we got a bill for $8,500 because the landlord had forgotten to send us any outgoing. So we hadn't. I thought we'd been paying for everything.
Mm.
I'm a little bit like, I know the details or whatever, but it's like, I also don't, like I care about the details, but then once they're going, I just,
I don't know the law about someone say I'm out of the premises and I haven't paid that gas bill. There was no gas bill that came to us. So I'm not going to follow that up.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a similar situation. He just pays some fee. Yeah, see, this is weird. Here's another thing. I forgot to tell you this. Amy missed her flight coming home from Sydney on Monday.
You were ropeable at the beginning.
I was so pissed off.
Well, because she didn't explain. She didn't communicate the story very well to you, so you lost your mind.
I'm triggered because I think about
how much.
You know when you love someone and they fuck up and what it will feel like for them is transferred to you or you take their feelings on as well.
Absolutely.
And so I do that with Amy with anything because I'm going, she's with Bodhi.
Yeah.
It's like the money we're going to have to pay and I'm feeling, oh. And she led with, I've missed my flight. And I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell. How much is this going to cost? She forgot to say they'd booked me on another one and I'm coming on the 2 o'clock one, which was...
But that was after... You didn't just say it. There was a slight blow up for a couple of seconds and then you had to be like, oh, well, like that's good. Then you relax and you're like, okay, well, that's all good.
The first
I wish
thing
you'd sort of led with that.
Yeah. And the reason I want to bring this up because I haven't followed it up and it's taking a bit in me to stop myself from doing it. First thing I said was, give me the fucking number of the transport business.
Yeah. Well, because she was getting a transfer.
Oh, yeah.
And so she'd ask the transfer company, what time do I need to leave?
I think they asked her, what time's your flight?
Yeah.
Yep, no problem, 1 o'clock. Yep, we'll pick you up at 11. We'll get you there. And so it was on them asking her the time of when the transfer's going to happen, because so it was door-to-door service.
You're ready to contact the transfer. Do you reckon the transfer people, on a side note, would be able to cover that sort of thing?
So it was a $160 transfer. That's how much it cost.
Why?
So because she's...
Because of the pram.
She's about an hour and 15 minutes away from the airport. And Uber was $145, but the Uber didn't have a baby seat and she had Bodhi. So the transfer was just a bit extra, but it was door-to-door.
That would cost more than flights to
said the last time we're doing that.
Yeah.
That's another bloody story.
Yeah.
But I was – the only reason why I haven't is because I haven't contacted this transfer company and said, bullshit, give me my money back. You made
– Yeah.
Your service made her miss her flight.
Yeah.
Is because we didn't have to pay and they put her onto another flight. But would if Bree missed her flight, the same situation, would you email this company and say, last time we were ever going with you, we want to refund you?
Yeah, I think Bree would be all over that and
is
just
it
be
fair?
Like, yeah, we had something probably similar in some regards was we paid for this whole tour in Pompeii and then there was a storm, so they just didn't go to one of the bits of like the whole tour.
10% minimum want off.
Yeah, and so then we're like, well, can we get that bit of it off? And so they end up giving you like the entry fee of what we paid, which was like a real minimal amount. But
one of my thought processes, which I shut down, was I guess it's extortion. We want a refund, or we're leaving a really bad review about your service, which was a tactic I shut down.
It could
work. I mean, I was thinking about businesses and owning one, and if people actually do this, like people doing this to us, would be really annoying.
Well, yeah, luckily that we're B2B. Jake, we've got my brother Jake here. I was referencing the guitar. He's got a guitar. I'd suggested to Jake that I'd finish the show playing him playing a song and me
playing us
singing
out.
But we didn't actually he didn't
rehearse
at all. So we can give it a go. But Jake's just getting the guitar. But I think the difference is it's B2B. I think it'd be a lot more sort of a bit weirder if it was a business writing something negative about us, right? Does that happen? How often do businesses – when would big media company write about another company and say, oh, I'm not happy?
Yeah, it would seem funny. I think, the kooks come out when it's business to consumer to business. Yeah. And so, people are just – it's so true.
So talking about the kooks – coming out. So we'd mentioned on the episode with Josh Pitterman that what ended my music career with my brother Jake, we had a band. Do you remember what the band was called?
No, I don't. But the fact you were no good wasn't the reason
Jake
it ended?
And the Fat Man.
Jake and the Fat Man.
Was the name. And so, I remember having a big blow up because I think I wanted to do Missy Higgins' Scar. And I don't think maybe Jake wasn't a fan of playing it. What was the reason, Jake?
I just didn't like it. I think I was a bit edgy at the time, so I just wanted to play edgy stuff.
He was playing a lot of Offspring and stuff like that.
Korn?
Blink 182. No, Korn.
Korn's a bit hard.
But so, TJ, can you put the microphone
on
Jake's guitar? This is going to end the show. It's The Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. But we are going to perform the song that we've been wanting to perform for a very long time. This has been probably, 15 years in the making. This is Scar by Missy Higgins, performed by one of her big fans, Josh Jansen, and his brother, Jake. It's Jake and the Fat Man. It's a Daily Talk Show.
Yeah, I had no part in this.
Neither did I.
Okay, guys, get your hands up in the air. Let's do it. It's a Daily Talk Show talking you out with this song. He left a card, a bar of soap, and a scrubbing brush next to a note that said, use these down to your bones. Come on. Yeah, come on, Mason. And before I knew, I had shiny skin and it felt easy being clean like him. I thought, this one knows better than I do.
Surprised you know the words.
A triangle trying to squeeze through a circle. He tried to cut me so I'd fit. And doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit too close to home? Doesn't it feel peculiar the way things could have gone? And there we go, right, everyone. It's the Daily Talk Show.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
Like, the guitarist really doesn't get enough cred. The person who actually makes the noise is the singer. The real person with the talent here is your brother.
What about, I remembered most of the lyrics.
That was impressive. Side note, Missy Higgins recently met the Princess of Cambridge.
Yeah, and actually Derek on Cambridge? What Now with Derek, listen to that podcast. He's in the also, people also listen to on our iTunes page. But Derek actually is, his co-host is Dan Lee.
Who's married to Missy Higgins. Yeah. Does that excite you because you are a Missy fan?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
She's got a big concert. I think it's with John Butler Trio. Oh, really? They're doing My Music Bowl.
Oh, lovely.
We should go and sit on the grass.
That would be, I'd love that.
Next year.
I'd probably get a bit itchy. We'll need to take a couple of antihistamines, but we'll make that work. It's a Daily Talk Show. Thanks for listening. And our first copyrighted, I said to Jake, maybe we do a bit of a parody so it doesn't sort of infringe.
Well, there's definitely parody vibes with your tone and your voice.
So, Daily Talk Show, have a good one.